Going to give our Bible reading for this morning, and just to set the scene, we are in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, and we're just following on from Jesus has been baptized, and then he goes out into the wilderness where he's tempted by the devil, and he overcomes all this. And then we get to this point. Verse 14, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. O-M-O. And if you were playing that game just now and you suddenly found that you were wearing a red coat or you've got trainers on, then you're missing out. You're not part of it. And it's not good. We hate it when we miss out on things. And FOMO in recent years has just become a genuine thing. People have this fear of missing out. But what we're discovering today is, as Becky's just said, that the goodness of God is here for everyone. Now, it's been quite a few years since I was at school. And I'm sure people who are at school now, I wonder if things are a little bit different these days. But some of us who are a little bit older, do you remember when it was time for sports or games? And there was the picking of the teams. Do you remember that? I loved games so much while I was at school that my report simply said at the end of term, "He turned up." But you were two as well. Good. We're singing off the same hymn sheet. I just remember the horror of standing there, waiting to be picked for the teams, because sports was not really my thing. And all the good ones get picked. It goes down and down the line, and then it's just left to kind of the faithful few. It's me, and it's one or two others, and we're just thinking, I really, really, really hope I'm going to be picked. And there was always this horrible realization if you were the last one to be picked, and the absolute shame and the horror and the embarrassment. And the team that finally got me just thought, oh no, it's him again. We're going to lose this week. But Luke, in his gospel, presents inclusion for everybody. And it doesn't matter what your place in the queue is. God's love, God's grace is there for everyone. So Luke presents this account of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. And his gospel shows how God's promises are being worked out from the time of the prophets right the way through to those promises being fulfilled in Jesus. So we encounter Jesus right at the beginning of that story, coming back from the wilderness where he's been tempted by the devil. And he's full of the Holy Spirit. He's overcome temptation. And now he's got something he needs to do. And this, a bit like when I talked about his baptism a couple of weeks ago, is kind of a crucial point in his ministry. So Jesus comes to the temple. And in Jewish society, to be asked to read from the scroll or the Torah in the temple worship is a huge honor. So somebody is picked for that honor of reading from the Jewish scriptures. And it's a great honor to do that. And so Jesus reads, and he hands the scroll back to the temple attendant. And he sits down as though he's going to give a sermon. And the eyes of everybody are on him. Perhaps there's a FOMO moment there. Suddenly, the place goes silent. You could hear a pin drop. People thinking, I've got to listen to this bloke. I've got to listen to what he's going to say. I don't want to miss out. So Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's just read this passage from Isaiah. And that particular bit that he's read is God's promise that he would send somebody who was going to set his people free from oppression, restore their freedom and their liberty. And then Jesus is going on to say, well, this proclamation from Isaiah is being fulfilled in me today. Even as you're sitting there listening to me, the promise is being fulfilled. And I bet those people who were sitting there listening to Jesus were shocked. Maybe when he finished speaking, the room fell silent again. The word of God, spoken on the pages of the Holy Book, in the fullness of time becomes flesh in Jesus. He's the Messiah. He brings to completion the story of God and his people. Jesus, standing in front of people he would have known quite well, suddenly tells them, I'm the one that Isaiah foretold. I'm bringing in a new age of freedom and grace, and I'm offering to everybody the good news. The good news of freedom for those who are prisoners and those who are oppressed. I'm offering healing from the sick, hope for the blind and the lame, and above all, he says, I'm offering forgiveness for sinners. And those who believe, accept, and follow Jesus receive his love and his grace. Sometimes in our churches, we might imagine that the ongoing running of the church is the most important thing. And maybe that can cause us sometimes to value the people who can fill certain jobs a bit more than others. St. Paul often talks about the church being the body of Christ, and sometimes his words give honor to those parts of the body that can seem a little bit weaker. And certainly if we believe that Jesus came to save everybody, that everybody's got a place in God's kingdom, it follows that God might have gifts for the church and people who might have been overlooked up until now. For everybody, there's a role. For everybody, there's a place. And perhaps we need to ask ourselves, are we open to seeing God working through every person in our church? Do we value people for who they are? And what we see of Jesus in that person? Or do we just sometimes see people only for what they're able to do? If our church is to reflect Jesus to the world around us, we need to show that everybody is loved and everybody is needed. And that's the good news we have to share. And sometimes it's the hidden ministries, the things we don't always see, that make a difference. And sometimes It's people who are living and working in our local communities who are really making a difference to other people. And sometimes we don't always value or appreciate that. Just before the service started, I asked Phil at the back if he wouldn't mind coming up and just sharing a few thoughts with me on the food bank. So Phil, would you be able just to come up here? And I'll take that, thank you. Was it David Dimbleby or Jonathan Dimbleby? I can't remember which one.
No idea.
No idea, right. So how long have you been volunteering with the food bank?
Minimum of five years.
It is on, Dave.
It is on.
Yep. Could you throw up the fader?
Is it?
There we go.
Yeah.
Minimum of 5 years.
Thank
you.
Minimum of five.
Yeah. And do you know how you got into it in the first place?
I was first covering when people went on holiday.
Okay.
When it was in Chesterton, and I was delivering to the Pentecostal church, mm-hmm. which used to be St. John's. So it was just when people were on holiday, mm-hmm. I just filled in.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Two or three times.
And you enjoy doing it?
I don't know if enjoying it it was just a job that needed to be done,
mm-hmm.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But the more I did it, the more I knew it needed to be done.
Brilliant.
So it just needs to be done.
Yeah.
So.
And do you get any sense of achievement from what you're doing?
I do when the people. I do something different now. I do a little bit more now. So I know the people who work in the food bank, that they appreciate the food coming in.
Absolutely.
And so the clients, don't know what the technical word is for the people who come to the food
we
bank.
We might call them service users.
Yeah.
Patrons, all sorts.
So those people. So now that I'm doing it, I do a little bit more now. So occasionally, on the way out, taking the things, they just say, thank you very much for, you know, the food that they've
brilliant.
And the things that they get. So.
Yeah. And sometimes it's that little word, thank you, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It makes
yeah.
a
yeah.
huge
yeah.
difference.
And 99% do say.
And sometimes when you're delivering or volunteering, do you ever think of the people who might be using it?
It's
because those are the people we don't often see.
Yeah, I mean, I rely on the people who've been in that situation, who now volunteer to put back, to give what they've received as well. So hearing their stories, you know, I don't know how I would cope if I was in their situation, but. Everybody can come, providing you've got the ticket. But it doesn't matter. You always listen to their story as well. So
that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you for your volunteering, because it does make a real sense of difference in our local community. And that's one of the examples of the hidden ministries. It's the people working behind the scenes who make a difference. But we're also showing by that example that God's grace is there for everyone. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we're first or we're last in the queue. God's grace is there for everyone. The promise that was given through the prophets is fulfilled in Jesus. And if we have faith, if we believe in him, he will fill our lives with his grace, his healing, and his truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.